The Olivet Park neighborhood in East St. Louis used to be one of grand mansions and affluence. Today, the most grand of those still standing is the home of the Katherine Dunham Museum. The building itself is in good shape. The main floor is filled with African masks and statues from Dunham's travels, and the upstairs is full of photos and awards that were given to its namesake. But memories and memorabilia don't always make money, and that is key in running a museum. Though the museum receives grants from time to time, there's no trust or steady income, visits are by appointment only, and paying members of the museum are few. In fact, if you call the number listed on the website to book a tour, you get the cell phone of Laverne Backstrom, board president of the Katherine Dunham Centers for Arts and Humanities, and tour guide for the museum. Unlike the lights in the phone line at the museum, she can guarantee that her phone won't be turned off.
You're always subject to losing all of it. But you don't think about that on a day-to-day basis. You continue to think where the next grant is going to come from and where the next resource might be. I'm not going to be very effective out there screaming and yelling by myself that this is what needs to happen.
Andrew Theising is the director of the Institute for Urban Research at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, where Dunham was an artist in residence for a time. He's in awe of the exterior, a mansion once owned by a judge.
Just look at how well maintained it is. I mean, there's no cracks in the bricks, and the windows are all in place, and the chimneys are all nice and straight like they should be. It needs some work here and there, but by and large, this is a wonderful structure.
But a walkthrough of the three Dunham homes just two blocks away reveals a different story. They were sold to Dunham several years ago with the intention to further her dance mission, but now sit vacant and vandalized on a trash and weed-filled property. We don't need a key to get in.
I see the front door is open right now, and
it shouldn't be.
Okay. I did not open it. It's unfortunate that people do break in and looking for anything of scrap value, or sometimes just looking for a place to spend the night.
Hello! We're just coming in for a minute.
The home looks like a specially crafted tornado hit it. Stripped for copper, there are gaping holes in the ceiling and floor, busted windows, and overturned furniture in the first home, which was used as Ms. Dunham's residence when she stayed in the city.
If you look at the top of this wall, you can see where the copper wiring was snipped out. And then it was snipped at the bottom of the wall through that hole. And then it was pulled through. It's hard to come to a place like this and not ask why. Why would this happen? Why would people treat something so disrespectfully, particularly something that has Ms. Dunham's name attached to it?
Though the properties are in a seemingly unimaginable state, Theising is hopeful that they will one day be restored, and Laverne Backstrom is quick to reiterate that East St. Louis remained a large part of Ms. Dunham's storied life for a reason.
We teach Dunham technique all over the United States. We are hoping that some young person is going to catch fire and want to perpetuate the legacy that Ms. Dunham left in East St. Louis. And I say it all the time, she could have left it anywhere in the world, but she chose East St. Louis.
The studio located in the backyard still serves as a place for instruction and regular classes. This summer, a group of visiting students paid a visit to Dunham's vacant homes, and after seeing their sad shape, cleaned out one of the basements. Backstrom is planning to have the artifacts that were recovered cleaned and cataloged. In the spirit of all creative pursuits at one point or another, the funds might be low, but the hopes are always high. Erin Williams, St. Louis Public Radio.